And also, I feel the same way about it as I feel about we did cross community projects with other schools. So I went to a Protestant school and we did cross community projects with St. Louise's, the Catholic girls' school. And I remember also being shocked sitting in the room hearing people in my class saying really sectarian things. So but I remember thinking, that's straight out of the mouth of their dad, or that's straight out of the mouth of their parents.
Exactly.
And I think it's the same thing for LGBT stuff again. And I think it's different now because everybody knows an out gay person or an out LGBT person. So it's harder for people to get away with saying it. So even the people that might still be homophobic largely might not express it in the same way, in the same way that it's become less socially acceptable to be a racist or a homophobe or a sexist. Now, arguably, all of that stuff still goes on, and there's still people with high profiles that still spew all of that stuff. But back then, like, there were very few people who were outspokenly supportive of gay people. And I remember it was around that time that I don't know if you've heard of Jerry Springer. So there's a Jerry Springer
Yes.
show. And he was very popular in the early 90s. And it was all that kind of very American Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve stuff. Obviously, gay women were never mentioned because we either didn't exist or I don't know. I don't know what the crack is there. But it was mostly gay men that were talked about. It did feel very invisibilizing or marginalizing. And I think as well, like even when I lived in London, the spaces for lesbians in comparison, or women who love women in comparison to the spaces for men who are into men, were limited, much more limited. And I think there's always been a weird not belonging in any community vibe about being a bisexual as well, and especially if you're hanging around with mostly straight people, it can be very difficult then to feel part of any community, But I think that's also changed for the better a lot as well. There's Bi Ireland now as well. So I think all of that stuff's got better. And the university LGBT societies have a lot of positive work to answer for as well. They've done really brilliant things. And I've just seen some really incredible young activists come up through those kind of groups and whatever. And I think the universities can be really a really powerful place to socially educate people, but especially like you were talking about the rural stuff. If you've come from a small town or village farming community and you've never any experience of hardly anyone else who isn't in the farming community, never mind anything else, then it's really great to have those societies when you go to university to introduce you to ideas around politics or abortion or gay rights or even solidarity with other countries with their issues. And you can really see some people who are just like sponges when they go to university and soaking all this new stuff in. Now, there are still young DUP societies, but they don't seem as popular, thank goodness. I think Rainbow and Cara Friend and who else have just been really, really good at kind of, and the Trans Resource Centre, the Belfast Trans Resource Centre, have been really great at welcoming lots of young people in who are maybe a bit green behind the ears. And then maybe this is where the double identity thing comes into play, where they're out for a bit at university before they're able to be out to family at home, which is the same as loads of people, like loads of us living in London. Sure, why did we have to tell anybody at home because we're in London?
And you'd said there that you had seen some of the early Belfast Pride marches from afar and was very curious about them. And I think young gay people don't realize just how much opposition there was to, there are still counter demonstrations, but just how much opposition there was in 1991 for an openly gay march in Belfast. How do you think the movement has changed since those early beginnings? And how much do you think the movement how much of an impact do you think the movement has made on change in politics and society in Northern Ireland?
I remember the first one I saw, people were being booed and spat at, and it was less than 100 people, I think. And like I wanted to go and be with them, but I was also, it was scary. It felt scary. There was real tension in the air in it, in a city center, like a silence fell about the place. And I just remember thinking how brave they were and how some people, like there were a few people there in like full kind of bondage, not full, but like slightly bondage leather gear. And I remember just being like so thrilled that they were being so cheeky. But I was still far, I was a young teenager, still far too scared to go and sidle up alongside them. Whereas I think the huge difference now is that Pride is a huge big family celebration that even if you're not officially walking with anybody in the parade itself or the rally itself, that you can just tag along beside. There's, tiny kids in rainbows, there's teenagers dressed up to the nines who are all part of it. So much part of it, and it's so popular and mainstream now that Pride's about to come because every bar and restaurant is sticking a rainbow flag outside the restaurant in the couple of weeks running up to it, and you're like, oh, aye, is that right? Where are you the rest of the year? Where's all your money to gay organizations? But anyway, it's me taking a swipe. I'm still uncomfortable with police being part of the parade. I'm still uncomfortable with that because trans people especially and queer people are highly criminalized at a much higher rate than heterosexual and gender conforming people are. So the idea that the police, I understand that there are LGBT people in the police, but I just think, with a critical head on me that I find it very uncomfortable. Like I'm part of the organizing committee for the International Women's Day rallies, and we were asked if we would allow the police to march alongside us, and we said no for very similar reasons, for how the police deal with sexual crimes and interpersonal violence, which obviously affects the LGBT community as well. So that's a bit of an issue, and like the pink washing of things can be a bit of an issue, but in mostly, I'm delighted that it's now become so mainstreamed and so popular, and it's like St. Patrick's Day for gay people, basically now. And I think it's a beautiful thing that people are allowed to be completely free to express who they are those particular days. And even in the last 10 years, the absolute size of the one in Belfast now in comparison to what it used to be is breathtaking. Yeah. Like I think it took an hour and a half for us even to move last year or whatever was the last time we were allowed to do it, which was fantastic, And Array Studios, the art group I'm in, we had a kind of performance part of the rally, which was fantastic. Yeah, the LGBT Pride parade has had a lot of women's sector participation in it and vice versa, so that's been great as well. And there's something to be said for being allowed to celebrate rather than just fight and struggle for things all the time as well, that should be allowed.
I was wondering, it's very interesting, the pink washing that you talk about, and I was wondering, Is there an opportunity for community interfacing between very traditional groups in Northern Ireland and the LGBT community? And I'll give you an example. What I was fascinated to learn, and I, funnily enough, I'm very interested in Titanic Quarter and the maritime history, but I hadn't realized that during the protests for the loss of jobs at Harland and Wolff last spring, there were actually several LGBT groups that came out and stood alongside the protesters and waved their banners. And there's a great new piece introduced into the Ulster Museum recently, a t-shirt from the march with the Harland and Wolff cranes, Samson and Goliath, with a huge rainbow flag coming over the top of it. So I think marrying those two images, Samson and Goliath, I suppose the ultimate representation of Belfast as industrial, working class, very traditionalistic, with the vibrant sort of gay community and including them together. I think that's such a move forward. But you talked about pinkwashing, which I suppose is the other side of that, and you'd said that very hostile organizations such as the police questioning whether they should get involved in pride events. So I was wondering how much of an opportunity do you think there is an interface between these traditional standpoints and the community, and what kind of chances we have for events like the Harland and Wolff protests, what kind of opportunities we'll have in the future for those? Sorry,
I
that's a
think,
difficult one.
yeah, I think like a lot of the trade unions now have dedicated LGBT trade union activists and subcommittees. And there's a really brilliant activist called Claire Mullally who does loads of stuff locally. She's really fantastic, but also utterly supportive of workers' rights and so forth. And I think, if you're talking about liberation politics, it has to be about everybody. You can't just do it for yourself and then not worry about other people. And I think there's plenty of evidence of that. Like I said, that how much the LGBT community stood by the abortion rights struggle and so forth. Like Mal O'Hara has just been fantastic from the Green Party from the get-go, and I think there's lots of people that whose names won't come to my head immediately, but people like me who are just automatically part of both communities anyway. And remembering that nobody has a single identity, everybody has these rich and complex identities that are a mixture of lots of different things, and not so nobody's just orange or green or gay or straight or whatever. Everybody's a little, kind of cross-cut and intersected in identities, and it's really important to remember that. I think the LGBT movement have done a little, but could do more around Black Lives Matter in Northern Ireland, and I think it's a really urgent issue. The response that we got for the fundraiser for the fine was fantastic, and a lot of LGBT activists were sharing that as well. It's LGBT activists that are some of them are responsible for the organization End Deportations Belfast, which is about stopping the detention of migrants in Larne House, for instance. So there's stuff like that is happening, and I think the trade unions are great. There's some high profile people in the trade unions who are LGBT people as well as trade union activists and class activists, So I think it's happening. It can always happen more, but yeah, I think it is happening. There's every year there's a May Day festival, which is kind of as you can imagine, run about workers of the world unite around that kind of central ethos. But there are always associated events, so like women's events, LGBT events, solidarity with Palestine events, Black Lives Matter events, whatever that is happening at the time. And I think it's really important to not everybody can do everything, so that's why you need allies. It's why we need allies, or we need LGBT people to be outspokenly LGBT people in whatever other areas of the world. Fidelma Carolyn is another really good example of a trade unionist and LGBT person. Claire Moore from Na Gcaichtear. There's plenty of people that I can think of. I just tend to know the women because I work in the women's sector, but there are more.
Well, these interviews we hope will be a kind of time capsule for young people in 10 to 15 or even 20 years' time, looking back at the LGBT community in 2021 and how far we've come in the last 50 to 60 years in Northern Ireland and what the future holds. And I suppose to round off the interview, really, I was wondering what experiences can we learn from in terms of the LGBT community and their activism and attitudes from the general public? What experiences can we learn from in the next 10 years to try and increase integration and social inclusion in society?
I think we should listen to our young people, and I think our young people are telling us very clearly what they need in terms of relationship and sex education. It needs to be LGBT inclusive. It needs to be honest and open, and it needs to be about sexual health and not purience about whenever people are having sex. I think the things that are still left to do, there's a lot of work that needs to be done around the access to PrEP medication for people with HIV. I think the stuff around marriage is still, there's still a few elements of that that haven't properly gone through. IVF for lesbian women or same-sex partnered women is much more difficult to access than it should be. What else? I think discrimination in the workplace because of homophobic or transphobic discrimination or harassment can be terrible. You know, there's lots of work to be done on that. And I think finding a way to end things like conversion therapy, to end the language, the homophobic language of one of our main parties would be really helpful. Something that we know from, to circle back to the thing I was talking about in the first answer to the first question, the Northern Ireland Life and Times survey told us that DUP voters, the majority of them supported equal marriage. So we know that they didn't vote for the DUP because of their stance on equal marriage or abortion. It was despite their stance on equal marriage and abortion. So that tells us that they were voting along sectarian or stroke identity lines and nothing to do with social issues. I think there's a lot of work to be done. I mean, I don't know if you can reform a party like the DUP, but it would be nice if there was, if parties like Alliance and Green and People Before Profit, you know, I don't have any particular alliance with any party because I try and remain outside of the party political system because of the campaign and work I do. But I think it would be good to have parties whose primary concern isn't sectarian politics to get greater involvement from young people. And all of those parties have, all parties, every single party in Northern Ireland has active young people in them. And I think making sure that active young LGBT people are included in them will help ensure that all of those kind of issues around discrimination and bullying and a lack of inclusive sex education could be solved by having more of us in decision-making roles, you know.